Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. This podcast is a series of conversations centered around understanding the values, beliefs, and intentions behind leaving a legacy. You will hear from successful business owners just like yourself who want to leave an impact for generations to come. Let's get started. Welcome to the Business Legacy Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Dio, and I have a very special guest today, Gene Lazarevich, of President and CEO of Advanced Computer and Network Corporation. Interestingly enough, Gene has more than 25 years of experience. Gene arrived in his new home in Pittsburgh as a refugee from Russia. Only 2 years later, while he was completing his education at the University of Pittsburgh and working night shifts at UPMC, Gene founded Advanced Computer and Networking Corporation to build high-performance JetStor storage systems, and he has never looked back. In over 23 years in the business, ACNC has installed JetStor RAID systems over 4,000 clients in numerous locations such as the United States, Canada, Asia, Eastern and Western Europe, and Australia. Under Gene's leadership, ACNC has built a prestigious customer list that includes companies like Sony, Microsoft, Starbucks, CVS, and the fifth largest food retailing company, SuperValue. JetStor brand powers research in a wide range of disciplines at NASA, Department of Energy, National Institutes of Health, Naval Research Lab, and many more. He's a finalist in the EY Entrepreneur of the Year of 2016. Gene recognizes that this risk-taking is an inherent part of running a small business that is in direct competition with multi-billion dollar corporations. The challenge that competition and the thrill of coming ahead of has motivated Gene to develop ACNC as a nimble company that meets customer needs in a creative, innovative ways, including with his involvement with new partners in development and new stages and products. Welcome, Gene. What does ACNC stand for?
It's Advanced Computer Network Corporation. So that's kind of an abbreviation that, we just go easy by the ACNC. So
great. Now, before we get started, tell us a little bit about your company and your overall story. I mean, I know that's just a big intro, but just tell us a little bit about yourself and what you're up to.
Yeah. So, my name is Gene Lazarevich. I'm with ACNC and we are based in Pittsburgh. And I came here 30 years ago. In 1991 from Moscow, Russia. So I came in as a refugee, actually. It was pretty much just my family and, it was like $100 in my pocket. So we just kind of left, Russia and just never looked back. So we landed in Pittsburgh. And then in 1994, we formed a company called ACNC and started doing business in the States. So we've been in business like 28 years. So.
And tell us a little bit about ACNC. What are they and what is the value proposition behind it?
Yeah, absolutely. So when we started, we got into data storage business. At that time, there was Berkeley professors in 1998. They created a white paper regarding to RAID, which is a redundant array of independent disks. Which basically they explain how the data will be striped and how you have an array of disks and you won't lose the data. So we got into the data storage business at that time. Then we created in about 1999, created a product called JetStor. It's actually federal trademark. So a lot of people know us by JetStor, ACNC JetStor. We started selling the JetStor devices into various markets, governments and educational. And now we're dealing with a lot of cloud providers and MSPs and, anything about data storage, anything about data protection, we've been doing it for 28 years. So,
Why did you get into the business of storage? What was appealing about it and what interests you?
Yeah, so I was always interested in technology and how the technology works and everything. So, and at that time, there was a need for storing data and protecting data. So, and obviously, 30 years ago, there was nothing like that where you can actually, when you lose drives, be able to protect your data. So, we were one of the first companies on the market, in 1994 to actually come up with this concept. And now there's so many competitors, obviously, and you know, we've transformed into a little bit different kind of business model. And, you know, we're offering more products and services. But at that time, it was very, very interesting and very new. You know, and we still have to obviously reinvent ourselves every year and kind of come up with different solutions and everything. But at that time, it was really hot. So,
yeah. So 1994, 1995, I'm installing Windows 3.11 and I need to find disk 4 of 18 to install this Windows.
So we, that's right. So we started, it's funny you say that because we started our smallest drives were 9 gigabytes. So and now it's it's a USB stick, right? The USB stick can be now 2 terabytes. Yeah. So we are, you know, we're now doing 20 terabyte drives and 30 terabyte drives. And we are doing a multi-petabyte systems with in multiple locations with replication and, you know, various applications, et cetera. So yeah, at that time it was, you know, you think back how many generations of drives and how many generations of products we've had. It's about actually 8 generations of products that we have come up with in the past 28 years. So it's pretty amazing that we've survived, you know, all the bubbles and internet bubbles and tech bubbles and, you know, still able to compete with some giants like Dell EMC and HP and network appliance and Pure Storage. So, you know, we have to compete with some of the biggest kind of people in the market, so, and companies in the market. So,
How did that go through the dot-com bubble? Like, where was your business at and what were some of the decisions that you were making at that time?
Obviously, you know, when we started, we didn't know that we were going to survive, you know, the next 3 months, three years or 1 year. So it was really hard. So everything we did was kind of purely organic. So we didn't get any investment. We couldn't get any investment from the bank because we didn't have any funds from anybody. And, you know, we would come to the bank and they're like, well, who are you? What's your collateral? And we didn't have anything. So we started just very slow and trying to get into the market and trying to gain the customers. And we acquired a website called raid.com, which is, you know, the technology that was, you know, really hot at that time. So it was a really good investment. A lot of companies were basically searching for RAID and coming to our website. So we would gain a lot of customers, you know, through our website, because our website's been up since 1994. We had a lot of customers that were coming to us, you know, by referrals, by cold calling and, you know, everything. And one of the biggest decisions that we made is that we actually decided to work in the company ourselves. We didn't hire anybody at that time. So we were actually running the company and doing it ourselves. So that's one of the things where entrepreneurs, sometimes they want to kind of maybe step away and hire somebody and then things may not go as well as they expect. So, and, you know, we are still running it just like we were running it, you know, 28 years ago. So, you know, you still have to be involved. You still have to be part of the company. You still have to push for new, you know, customers, new sales and everything. So, and, you know, at that time, you know, obviously we were just starting out. We were in pretty much working out of our apartments and just cold calling customers, trying to promote the product, promote the technology, et cetera. So, and we started gaining tractions from, you know, various industries, from the government, from universities, you know, we did a lot of trade shows, et cetera. So, and then we started getting into a lot of, like, looking for partners. So we have a lot of partners who are just the partners, like resellers and dealers and MSPs now. So that's how we were able to survive. So.
Just as far as educational information for the audience, describe to me what hardware as a service is, because most people don't know.
Yeah, so that's now we know probably in the past about 6-7 years we've been doing the hardware as a service. Before we would just sell the appliance where the customer just buys it and just use it themselves. But now, you know, we're doing what's called like storage as a service, hardware as a service, exactly. And basically, we would ship the appliances to the customer data center. and they would just pay us every month for the service for whatever. Usually it's like 12 to 36 months. And then after that, they either keep the equipment or they just get a new upgrade. Instead of paying it outright, you know, it's almost like a lease on a car where you're just driving it for 3 years and then you can return it and get a new one. So it just like, that's what it's called, hardware as a service. So it kind of lets you be able to upgrade to a faster technology, faster,
more frequently, you know,
instead of running for like 5 years or 7 years, something like that. Yeah. Even though we do have customers that have been running JetStore actually for over 10 years.
Has the technology changed as far as storage? Because I remember there's solid state drives versus moving drives. Like, how has that changed over the years?
Yes, that's a very good question. So obviously, just like, you know, we talked about, so when we started, it was all what's called HDDs, so which is just regular hard drives, and they were spinning at 7,200 RPM. There was a lot of, you know, failures, and you know, because it's a mechanical device, so you have issues with, you know, mortars and platters, and you know, all kinds of, you know, issues with that. And about 10 years ago, they came out with what's called solid state disks, exactly what you said. So, and actually now that's more like a memory. So where you don't have spinning parts. So it's all chips, and it's supposed to last longer. And actually in the past, you know, 5 years, we've been selling more and more, probably about 60% is all flash. That's what we're selling. And it offers much lower latency and much faster performance. So you can get, you know, what's called IOPS. So you can get things in and out quicker and your performance is much faster. Yeah. So that's kind of the future, is all solid state disks. And also now it's called NVMe disks. That's another technology that's we've been selling as well, which is somewhat similar to solid state disks.
Yeah. And this is kind of a side question out of curiosity. So in the previous interviews that I've listened to, you have some organizations that are storing petabytes of data, which is 1,000 terabytes, you know, of data.
Yes, that's correct.
How do they search through that data? Is there proprietary software that they have that search through all that data? Like, how does that, do they just go to Finder on their computer? How does that work? Yeah.
Yeah. So, they use, you know, special tools. I mean, sometimes, you know, it's a database. It's obviously a lot of it's database driven. You know, there is also some other tools that they're using to search for data. Like, for example, if it's a surveillance video, there's a lot of software that would basically search for certain patterns, certain, you know, keywords and et cetera. So, yeah, but that's a challenging task to search through petabytes of data. That is correct.
Now, given kind of if you think about the last 25 years, what would you consider your best business decision?
The best business decision was, I would say, probably to, you know, kind of operate the company as by yourself, like, you know, for you to be involved in the company, not to like hire, you know, people and then kind of step away, is ability, like, you only the one, and you basically the one that's going to drive the company. You have to be passionate about it. You have to be the one making all the decisions. You know, you have to be the one taking care of the customers. You know, you obviously have to have a team around you, but you have to be involved in the company. As soon as you step away, you know, I think things may not probably go as well as, you know, you think they would. And that's why, you know, you see, you know, the founders like, you know, Bill Gates or Steve Jobs, you know, the guys who actually had those big companies, then they were actually founders and actually ran the companies. And they, you know, you could see that, you know, the difference between the hired CEO and the founder, I think. In my view, I think the founder is definitely more passionate about what it's like their baby, you know, but then of course, at some point, you know, you're going to have to figure out, you know, how to pass it on to others. But, you know, at first, you definitely have to drive it yourself.
Now, in contrast to that, what would you say is the worst business decision you've made?
That's a good question. I had a partner. I had a business partner, which I ended up buying out like 10 years ago. And I would say the worst business decision was that we actually, when we started the company, we did it 50-50. And that was probably the worst decision that I've ever made in my life, is because it took us like 8 months to get separated. Because when you do 50-50, there's no, you should do always 51-49. So that's the only way to get separated. So the, you know, that 1% you actually can basically at least, you know, get the person out, you know, in a much faster time. Mm-hmm. So it took us 8 months to separate, and it was very painful. Mm-hmm. So you know, I actually was even thinking to like teaching the class on how to, you know, form the company, because you know, you gotta really think through it. You know, if you have two partners, you definitely have to have at least one partner having a majority, mm-hmm. Versus having 50-50 is very hard to
definitely
to basically separate. So you know, if anybody's listening and they are trying to form a company, you know, definitely think about, you know, doing it 41, you know, 49, 51, at least something like that. So
yeah,
or having more partners, but you know, but yeah, then it's a different story. So
what advice would you give to others who are trying to start a business?
I always tell people that entrepreneurs are a special breed. I think, you know, not everybody can be entrepreneur. I think people think that they can be, you know, entrepreneurs, but I think it takes a special person, a special drive for a person to be entrepreneur and to, you know, start a business. Because obviously, as you know, like a lot of businesses being started and then, you know, they don't survive within, you know, 1 to 3 years. Or, you know, a lot of people, you know, people just closing down. I would say that, you know, you definitely have to think about it if you, that's for you, or, you know, you can definitely try it. And the way we tried it, we just basically went kind of into it and just, you know, I always tell people it's like jumping in the water and start swimming. Like you just don't even know what, you know, it's going to happen tomorrow, or what, you know, surprises you're going to see and what, you know, what challenges you're going to face. But the only way to be in business is to get into it and see what happens. A lot of, like, we went even without the business plan. We had a very basic business plan. We didn't know where we're going to be in 3 months to a year. And you know, looking back 28 years after, you know, we've been in business, it's amazing that you know, we've survived for so long without, you know, having, you know, like, I don't have MBA or any kind of business degree, but you know, it's almost like some people I've seen, they're, you know, they're sort of like street smart and they're able to do it. And some people who have all these degrees and they just can't do it. Mm-hmm. So a lot of things you just can't read in a book. You just have to kind of have experience for it. So
is there any painful lessons or anything in the past 25 years where that really stuck out, where maybe it was a deal that went wrong or a way to service a client or service? Is there anything that you could share as far as story that sticks out in your entire journey?
Yes. I mean, we've had some bad deals that kind of went south. That's one of those things where you learn, you never learn on somebody else's mistakes. You learn on your own mistake. So basically we did what's called the hardware as a service, as you actually asked me about. And we don't utilize the banks for the most part. So we use our own cash when we do it. And we actually had a customer where we landed over $1 million in credit line. And they ended up basically returning the equipment like earlier than they were supposed to. And we had to take a loss of about probably 20%.
Wow.
Basically we got the equipment back and we're able to sort of, kind of sell it as a used equipment. But in fact, you know, what we learned is that, you know, we probably should have utilized the bank, where it would have been a probably better way to go. And, you know, basically my advice is that sometimes you know you're trying to overstretch yourself, you know, kind of overdo yourself and over, you know, you think, I mean, obviously we had the cash to support it, but the customer, you know, somewhat probably took advantage of us, you know, where they would be like, okay, well, we're going to have to return it. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, we had to make a decision that, you know, rather than, trying to go into, you know, litigation, we just let it go. And we said, okay, let's return it and just let it, you know, let it go. So the lesson is, you know, probably on the larger deals, I'm actually now, you know, we're now going through the banks. You know, we're trying to limit the exposure for ourselves, you know, where maybe about $100,000 to $200,000 exposure, rather than having it, you know, for like $500,000 to $1 million, it probably should go to the bank.
Yeah, that's a really insightful lesson. So as of right now, the bank takes on some of the risk just in case the same thing. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes
exactly. Sense. Yeah. So you have to kind of have a, you know, you let the professionals handle the financial part and you do the technology part. But a lot of times, you know, the tech companies, they basically do the financing as well. And sometimes you would get burned.
Yep, that makes sense. So back to the main topic of the episode, question I like to ask is, what does legacy mean to you and how do you want to be remembered? What is your legacy that you'd like to leave?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, the legacy that, you know, we started the company from nothing. We survived 28 years in business and we're still going strong. I just want to be remembered as a person that basically came with, kind of started with nothing and, you know, had a dream and had a passion and had a inspiration to kind of help others to save data, to be, you know, to have be in protecting data protection business. You know, we were able to survive in this very competitive marketplace. So it's anything is possible. And this, you know, I think obviously I kind of, you know, thank the, you know, this country as well, because, you know, I came from another country and this has definitely gave me an opportunity to kind of shine, to show what we can do. I don't know if I would be able to do the same thing, you know, back where I came from, but I think this country definitely gives you this opportunity to, you know, perform and show what, you know, your abilities and what you can do. So, and also, I would say that probably my advice is to focus on the goal. You know, it's a big deal with a lot of people, a lot of entrepreneurs, they kind of go all over, I call it like all over the place. They do this kind of business, they do that kind of business, they do, you know, they get involved into many different businesses and they lose focus on the actual, your main business. So I would say that, you know, for everybody, you know, or at least, you know, you juggling too many balls, sometimes, you know, many, you know, the balls are going to start dropping. So stay on focus, stay on the goal and try to be, you know, kind of, you know, produce the results, but basically stay focused. That's where my biggest advice is.
Great, Gene. So where can we find you and learn a little bit more about ACNC?
Yeah, so our website is acnc.com, applecharlienancycharlie.com. Also jetstore.com is our website. So everything is pointing to ACNC. That's where we show our product pages, our services, you know, how to contact us. We have customers in all over the country and all over the world. Actually, about 55% of our customers are, you know, outside of some of the, you know, some of the customers outside of US. So like, for example, like 55% of UK police forces are using JetStores, which is a very interesting fact. So for like forensics. So we have a really strong partner in UK that's been selling for us over 15 years. So we have some of the partners and customers that have been with us for like 20 years.
Well, thank you so much. Again, acnc.com. Gene, have a good one.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Legacy Podcast. Now, if you can do us a favor and leave a review, any type of stars on any platform that you use, it would be greatly appreciated. For more information about us, the other co-hosts, and the Legacy Podcast, go to businesslegacypodcast.com. That's businesslegacypodcast.com. Have a great day.